As we prepare this morning, if you want to follow along in just a few minutes with me in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to read the Easter story here in a few minutes. Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be this morning. But before we get there, I want to take a moment and just reiterate something that I know that I just sense today listening to everybody. And I know as Leslie had mentioned as well, I'm telling you, today just feels so bright. It just feels so encouraging. One, because it's not freezing cold outside, and the sun is shining, and it's not raining. It's just a gorgeous Easter Sunday. It's just so beautiful. And when I see that, and I think of what today is, my word, it just makes me feel so so hopeful, you know. It's just optimistic and so encouraged. It just feels good, doesn't it? Just like, oh, man, it's just so rich. I love it. Yesterday, we had a great Easter egg hunt. Kids running all over the place and some adults tied together. Leslie and I were part of that race, and we had our legs tied together like a three-legged race, but it was a three-legged Easter egg hunt. And so we were racing, and we couldn't compete with one of the younger folks. Connor was just nailing it, and it was just amazing. And so they won that, and this has seen the Fusion kids over here on the hill, and they were going at it to get the candy over there. And the kids out here with the eggs was just a blast. So much fun yesterday. And for those that worked hard pulling that together, I want to say thank you to you. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. It was so good. If nothing else, it was just so rich to just be gathered outside together with so many folks. It just felt so good. It's been so long, right? So long. And I love it. We get to share Easter Sunday today together. We didn't get to do it last year, and this year we get to, and we are together, and you're with us online, and it's just so wonderful. It feels like a victory. I didn't fight a battle, but it just feels like a win. You know what I mean? And it's just wonderful. It feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel. Whoo! Haven't we gone through a lot? We have. We have gone through a whole stinking lot over the last year. COVID restrictions all over the place, and we're still, you know, wrestling with some of that now, and then that's okay. Isolation with loneliness for many people. A lot of folks were been wrestling with depression, not being able to see their family and friends and live their life like they've been used to doing. Folks have had to put life on hold. Probably you did as well. You might have had a vacation that was scheduled, and you had to scratch that. I know we did in our family last year. You maybe lost a job because of it all, or had to cut way back. You didn't get to see your family as much. You might have known somebody that suffered because of COVID, or perhaps even died. And we hate and we grieve that that happened. We couldn't gather. That was heartbreaking. It just seemed off last year. You know what I mean? We just have had to wrestle with so much. So much just feels like junk, right? Just so much junk. Let's go to Easter for a second. And before we kind of ramp up, let's take a look at the darkness of Friday, Saturday, and super early on Sunday. And let's think about those disciples for a moment. You've got these disciples who have watched Jesus, who they believed was the Messiah, as their hope, and they've watched him nailed up to a cross. And can you imagine when you have put so much hope on a person to deliver you, and then you see that person die? The sense of despair and the sense of wind going out of their sails, if you will. You know what I mean? Kind of the balloon losing its air, sort of fizzling out, because they're not just a one who delivered them, but my goodness, their friend. I mean, when you spend so much time with somebody and then all of a sudden they're dead. It's heartbreaking. It just tears your heart out of your chest, it feels like. It's so hard and painful. And somebody who was such a wise teacher, a wise leader, comforter, always knew the right thing to say. Don't you love those friends? You, like when you're hurting, they seem to always know what to say to help you just sort of be lifted up and to see the truth in the moment. They had watched him heal people. They had watched him save. I mean, they'd watched him do all sorts of divine displays that they couldn't understand, they couldn't explain, except for this has got to be God. It's got to be the presence of God working in our midst. And he's hanging on the cross, and certainly did not look as pretty as this, for sure. And hanging on the cross, and wow, their political salvation as well, you can imagine, feel like it's just slipping away from them. We're never going to get to be our own people. I just can't imagine the darkness of that feeling. It had to have been miserable, just painful. Doubting his identity even too. We read in the Gospels, despair, discouragement. Looking at a moment and thinking, wow, all seems to be lost. Because when I look at it with my eyes, it seems like I just lost it all. Oh my goodness. What now? Pastor, I didn't come to be discouraged. I came to be encouraged today. It's Easter. What are you doing? Come on. Well, this was on purpose. Because you see, when you look at the joy of Easter, it's so joyful because it has to compare against something that's lacks joy, right? Something that has kind of like sucks the life out of it. That's what makes it so wonderful. So before we talk about the goodness, we need to just sit for a moment in the pain and the darkness of sin and dark death and grieving. You good? Okay, so now let's move forward. But on the third day, here we go, right? But on the third day, the season changed and the chapter changed to another one. And so I could tell a story, but why don't we just go to the scriptures today in Matthew chapter 28. And let me start at verse 1. And let's just read the word of God as it tells this resurrection story. Matthew chapter 28. Let me begin with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Oh, if I could only just stand here and fall backwards, right? I'm not going to do it. I would get hurt. Maybe when I was 20, that would have been okay, but not in my mid-40s. Matthew says right here, reader of this story, I want you to see that God was putting his power on display for the world to experience, not just in the resurrection of Jesus, but in the display of his very might and his work, that God was shaking the very foundation of what had been, and he was intervening. It wasn't man, it was God. Now let's carry on. Verse 5. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Do you notice? The disciples go to the tomb looking for death. But they don't find death, they find life. It's good. The story is changing. I love it. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful story? Oh, it's so beautiful. I love it. It's like nothing else. They thought the story was over. God was just simply turning a new page and opening a new chapter in the story because he wasn't done yet. Even though they thought they had lost it all by what they saw with their eyes. Here's something I love about this moment in this story. When I look at Jesus, Jesus does not seem at all to be concerned about death on Easter morning because he had just overcome the grave. The darkness could not overcome the light that was in the world. He wasn't worried about the enemies of God because his resurrection had made him the victor. He wasn't fretting about the future because he held all of it in his hands. And like maybe only Jesus would do, he just comfortably says to them, "Hey, what's up? Good morning. How you doing?" Rejoice, greetings, depending on the translation here, right? But I mean, Jesus is not just weighed down with the darkness because the light has prevailed. And he's standing as proof of that prevailing, for he knows who he is and he knows what he's done and he knows what is true in the world because of him. In that moment, Jesus saw what they didn't see. To quote Isaiah 43, Jesus saw the new thing that God was doing. Jesus had changed the season, brought a new season by leaving that tomb with breath in his lungs, life in his physical body. He had been laid dead and lifeless, but had arisen with breath and life. A body that wasn't moving was now up and moving. A body that had been wrapped, that wrapping was off, and that wrapping, that headpiece, I love how it says it was, it was folded. It was just set down at the end. As a parent, maybe we could use that. Like, look, even Jesus folded his clothes, and he set them. Like, maybe that works. I never thought of that till just right now. I don't know. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But God has done some great things in the past, and he is not done at all, not even close to being done. And I love that I can stand here amongst you, and my guess is that about everybody in here is probably a believer in Jesus Christ, and it's great to speak to you, and together, like, we're just like pumped up and it's encouraged. That's fantastic. But I want to speak for a moment to perhaps maybe the one person that when they look at their day, it doesn't look as bright as I'm talking about already. When they look at what they're going through in life, it's just not quite that encouraging. And they go, "Yeah, I hear you. But when I look at my life, that's not exactly what I'm seeing," just to be frank. And maybe it is that physically you're sick, you're facing a negative, scary health prognosis. Financially, maybe you're just really struggling right now, and you're really waiting on God to provide, but man, it doesn't seem like or feel like it's coming quick enough. Maybe you lost your job, and you can't find another one. Maybe spiritually, you're just simply struggling because, honestly, God's not letting you see behind the curtains. As much as you're going, "God, show me something, help me understand what you're doing," God's just not pulling the curtain back and you don't get to see. Maybe you're in a relationship that right now, honestly, you're not sure is going to make it past the week or the month. It just feels so strained. Perhaps you're just wrestling with feeling that all is lost because you really have lost a lot right now. And if that is where you are today, I want to say to you, listen carefully to me, you're not alone. Because all of us go through seasons in life where it does feel like we have lost so much. When you're in it, you feel like you're in it all by yourself. But that's just not really the truth. It's your personal experience, but you're not alone. We all have had the temptations at some points to not trust that God is sufficient for us in our weakness. We have struggled through grief and sorrow and wondered if it would end. We were struggling to pay our bills and afraid maybe the water would be shut off or foreclose on a piece of property, relationship just fell apart, and we wondered, where did that go? How did it get to that? To wrestle in those seasons is to be human. Don't beat yourself up over it because you're in a struggling sort of season right here. Don't. To be human is to go through these struggles. But it's what you do in the struggles that deeply matters. I mean, think to even Jesus. Even to the Son of God, who, right, God in the flesh, even when he is on the earth, not even he was exempt from temptations and grief and suffering. Not even the Son of God. He was tempted in every way as man. He gets it. If you want to look anywhere and say, I feel like I'm all alone, I want to encourage you, look to the story of Jesus in the Gospels, because you are not alone. He had some rough times in his life. And if that's where you are, I have a word of hope on this Easter Sunday. I want to flip the script, as they say, today. Just because we wrestle when we can't see God's goodness working doesn't mean that God's goodness is not already working. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it isn't happening behind the scenes all around you and potentially even in you. And you say, well, that sounds good. So that sounds like one of those memes or something, you know, you just throw out there. But how in the world can that be real? I want to tell you, why. Look at this. It's in the story. It's in Matthew's resurrection story. Because the disciples on that morning, they go to the tomb and they're looking to find the Jesus Christ dead there in the tomb. But what they didn't see was that God had already raised Jesus from the dead. Just because they hadn't seen it didn't mean that God wasn't already working. He was already on it because he knew what needed to be done. Why would he not leave the tomb happy? Greetings! Rejoice! He's defeated the devil. He's overcome evil. He's walking out life, right? Breath in his lungs, life in his body. He's fully aware what has just happened. He knows. But the world didn't know yet. Just because the world didn't understand it didn't mean it didn't happen. Oh, come on, that'll preach, won't it? Just because you can't see God working for your good doesn't mean that he's not already working for your good in ways that you don't see. There's a lot of weight today that gets put on the idea of positive thinking. That you can, in some sense, you can sort of think your way into a better future. Okay? You can think your way into a better place emotionally, mentally, even sort of spiritually, okay, to use there as well. But the hope with joy, the kind of like with joy Easter morning, right? Because some of the disciples leave, the ladies, like they leave there with fear. Like, what has happened? I don't know. I saw an angel and all the earthquake and lightning. I'm freaking out right about now. But Jesus was there, and now he's not there, and I don't quite know. And then he said greetings, and I went, oh! And I was freaking out for a moment. But I'm excited because my hope's not dead. He may just very well be alive. And, I mean, how wonderful. The hope with joy that lasts has to be connected to Jesus. If you ever put your hope in the things of the world, then you probably experience, like I have, that at some point it lets you down. At some point, that well runs dry. It may last for a bit. You're just kind of coasting. You're going, it's kind of, life's good, you know. And then something hard hits, devastating, darkness, death, grief, sorrow, despair, discouragement, depression. And you don't feel quite the same. I heard a guy on TV say one time, he said, good things happen to good people. And I thought, well, that's true. That's only half the story. Because, you know, bad things happen to good people too. And good things happen to bad people. That's the way the world works. It's not always fair and just the way things happen. That's the world broken in sin. But the mercy of God is always, and I mean always, not discriminating in who it comes to. You could be the greatest moral person on earth, and the mercy of God would come to you just as well as you might be the worst moral person on the face of the earth, and God's mercy will come to the both of you just as equally in the name of Jesus Christ. The mercy of God doesn't discriminate, and I love that. Absolutely love it. And when I understand that no matter where I've come from, that the mercy of God is made available to me, and therefore I have salvation and I have hope, and I'm anchoring that in the truth of Jesus Christ, then even though the rug gets whoop, pulled out from underneath me and it just looks with my eyes so dark around me, it's then that I can be able to, whether I'm on my knees or I'm standing up or I'm laying in my bed or sitting in my recliner with my feet up, I personally like that position, that I can say, all is well with my soul. Because the all is well is anchored in, here we go. It's anchored in what Jesus has already done through the cross that he died upon. It's already anchored in what Jesus is doing right now, which is guarding the church's eternal inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. He's holding it for you, and there's no force of evil that can take that away from God, because he was resurrected from the dead, and he overcame victory, and he established that last final win that says, I win, you lose, and I'm guarding your inheritance for you. Oh, but by the way, that empty cross and that empty grave and the Lord ascending to heaven or see the right hand of the Father, and he's guarding that inheritance. Oh, by the way, one day he's coming back for you. Not because you want him to, oh, he will, but because you believe. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's guarding that. It is on his to-do list. And at some point, his phone is going to go ding, and the Father is going to say, hey, it's time. Return. Gather. Bring them home. And I will welcome them because I promised I would, because it is your righteousness, Son, that is upon them. And I will welcome them because of you, Son. So gather your church together and bring them home. See, for me, I think it's when it's all sort of feels like it's so dark around you. If you understand that the hope is not in the world, but it's in Jesus. If it's anchored in the work of Christ on the cross and by his death and his resurrection and the promise of what he is to do, then you can see darkness with your eyes, but you can see light and hope with your heart because you know what the truth is. You know the truth. Not a subjective truth. It's not a shifting truth. It is a solid, anchored truth that will never change because it's set upon God who is unchanging. And I tell you, if there is anybody in Scripture, in the New Testament, that has written this so beautifully, it's got to be the Apostle Peter. Carrie, would you come? I have asked her if she would read for us 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And if she, yeah, come on up, come on up. Stand in the light here. All right, stand in the light as he is in the Yes. Listen as she reads from 1 Peter. This is everything I've been saying in a nutshell. And may the Spirit of God just minister to our hearts as you read. Read the word.
This starts out real awesome. I love the beginning of this. It says, "Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is greater than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls."
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the reading of the word. Isn't that, did you catch it? Did you hear it? You just can sense it, the joy. She said, "You are such an amazing reader of the scriptures. I love it. I love it." And I want us to walk away from today knowing that the future is bright for everyone who trusts and follows Jesus. Period. I believe the future is bright for new hope as we try to do our best with God to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. And I want you to know that the moments may not always look that bright, and that's okay. There will be seasons with wrestling that are in our lives, yet there is hope with joy because Jesus has overcome the grave. He is not here. He is risen. Absolutely. The cross and the tomb are empty. Salvation has come. Death has been defeated. Life wins. And today in Christ, we live in the power of victory over sin as God's people. If there's anything that deserves a hallelujah, I'm thinking it's that. Hallelujah. Man, that is good news right there. And so all this simply just means, folks, that there is a reason to hope. And your future is bright in Christ. And even though you may not see it, you know it's bright because your genuine faith, as Peter said, will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed on the last day. Amen. One of the most wonderful days to celebrate communion is to me, I think, not just on Maundy Thursday, but on Easter Sunday. And so we're going to do that this morning. And so you should have, for those of you that are here with us today, you should have a package of elements there at your chair for you to celebrate with us together. On the night that Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given up for you." Then when supper was ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and praise, and he blessed it. And he said, "Take and drink from this cup, the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and you drink this cup," Apostle Paul says, "we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And today it is good, so good, that we would proclaim the life that we have in Christ because of his body given up, his blood poured out, and his overcoming the grave. Hallelujah. Lord, bless these elements as we receive them, that your Spirit would continue to work within us, to grow us up in Christ as we await that final day when you do return. But until then, strengthen us for the journey, Lord. In Christ's name, we ask this blessing. Amen.